You'll have in your bulletin a sermon outline. We encourage you to pull that out and write on it. When it comes to Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about how to set your table for Thanksgiving joy. This Thanksgiving, what recipes are you planning to set on your table? Anybody remembering that recipe from Grandma? How to actually do a turkey without blowing it up? That recipe from Mom at apple pie? Can you remember that? Did she ever really share with you all the ingredients or just some of them? Did you ever really figure out, why doesn't it taste the same as Mom's or Grandma's? I don't know, but we're planning to produce some of that this Thanksgiving, I'm sure. When it comes to hoping what others bring, we typically have a gathering lately at my brother and sister-in-law's house, Jim and Debbie, and anybody and everybody kind of comes in and hopefully brings something tasty, extended family and whoever else. By the way, if you don't have a place to be on Thanksgiving, there are families asking for folks to come over. Please let us know, like today, we'll get you paired up. And so there's a number of families that are making requests, and we won't, we will tell you first of all, give you some options, and you can choose, okay? So if you'd like a place on Thanksgiving, let us know. But when the guests come over, what are you hoping they bring? Right? To put on the table. For me, it's real simple. It's Thanksgiving. Smoked mullet. Obviously. Like, it's just not Thanksgiving in Anna Maria without smoked mullet. Nobody ever brings grits, but I'm thinking about cooking up a batch and bringing those myself. What dishes do you remember? What recipes do you remember from childhood or even earlier? Anything come to mind? For me, it's Farm Stores eggnog. That doesn't ring, that's not a rumble at any. Nobody makes eggnog like Farm Stores, and there's no more Farm Stores. David, I think we spotted one in Miami, and I'm thinking about taking a trip down there just to buy some eggnog and bring it back. Farm Stores eggnog is like the greatest. And so everybody has their favorites they want to put on the table. Ever figure out or try to figure out the ingredients that are in something? I mean, you made it, but it's not like that. Like, what are the real ingredients? Sunday mornings, every second Sunday, we have dinner over there. I'm always trying to figure out certain dishes. Like, what did that person put in this thing? It's like incredible. Carrie makes some incredible stuff on Wednesday night. Some other folks help out. Pepe made some pasta about a month ago or so, way too long back, and it was like incredible for Wednesday night, and I'm like, what did he put in this? This is amazing, and then Charisma made some, I think a week or two later, made some brownies. Like, everybody makes brownies. Like, what's up with those brownies? Like, what's in that? And I figure if I ask them, they'll tell me some of it, but I don't know if they'll tell me everything, right? And it might just be they just know how to do it. I don't know, because it's more than the ingredients, obviously. Some of the ingredients, it's just a matter of getting good quality ingredients, right? And for some of the ingredients, they're just so good that you can use them with, like, anything, it'll work. For example, bacon. All right, whatever it is, throw some bacon in, it'll make it better. And some recipes, or some ingredients, I should say, are so nasty that you just don't want to use them in anything. Before you come over, you can ask me what those are. Today, we're going to prepare the best. We're going to prepare for Thanksgiving this way. We're going to look at some of my favorite Thanksgiving recipes for the soul. Everybody good? Feed the body, feed the soul. Every principle I talked about in the intro, you can re-listen to it online, Every one of those principles applies to these recipes, recipes for the soul. So I got three questions to ask the recipe text that we're going to look at the text we'll look at momentarily. Question number one, what would this taste like in my soul? More importantly, in the soul of God and in the soul of other folks that are around us. Number two, what's really in the recipe? We speed read passages and we don't really study to really look at the ingredients. We're going to do that a little bit this morning. I got some homework for you to send home with you as well. And so as we go through these recipes in the Bible, I want you to underline or mark the ingredients. Look closely with me if you would. I might be missing some. And then number three, ask the Lord to speak to your heart. What if this recipe was a part of my regular diet or the regular diet in my marriage, in my family? If you want to raise healthy kids, they need to be part of a home of Thanksgiving. Want to have a healthy marriage and Thanksgiving to God. Want to have a healthy marriage, the core of that is going to be a life of thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving is just mixed throughout Scripture. So I have a few passages. There's so many. Obviously, every ingredient in the Bible is good and they all work together. But for whatever reason, God has chosen to put certain ones, stir certain ones up in a given dish, and we're going to look at those today. If I have missed your favorite recipe for Thanksgiving in the Bible, please submit it to me toward the beginning of the week, and then you might see it somewhere the following week. All right? All right. Let's get into this. Dish number one that we'll be looking at today, and this, Psalm 100. This is a classic dish. All right? Yeah, I mean, you got to have this dish on Thanksgiving, or it's just not Thanksgiving. This is absolutely a classic. Psalm 100, the whole thing. It's only five verses, all right? The entire thing. Let me read the recipe. Again, you're asking the questions, what would this taste like in my soul? What are the ingredients? And what would this be like to be part of my regular diet in marriage and family? And just lifestyle. Psalm 100, verse 1 and following. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Did you spot any of the ingredients as we just read through the list of ingredients? What would this taste like if this was a regular part of my marriage? Ask yourself. Regular part of our family, if this was the regular dish in our home. Let's look at it. Let's see if we can spot the ingredients if we can. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Anybody hear a particular ingredient in that? Yeah, yeah. Isn't it amazing how we leave God out of our thankfulness? Oh, thank goodness I got a job raise. Right? I mean, what does that even mean? Right? We're thankful for a lot. Do we thank God? Even in the Bible, we will notice this. And I challenge you to find me a passage where somebody is thanked in the New Testament. It might be the Old Testament too, but the New Testament, where the person is thanked and not God is thanked for what the person does. The person might be being addressed, but it's always thanking God for this act or gift from this person.
what's the theology behind that? God enables us to do anything that we do. It's all God. He owns it all. He owns us. He works inside of us. Anything good coming from you, I'm thankful for, but I thank God for you and for what he's doing in you. That's a biblical mindset. So first of all, first ingredient, and this is the main ingredient. There's a focus on God, but let me add one more word. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Serve the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D, that stands in for the covenant name for God in the Hebrew scripture, Yahweh. Yahweh. Core of that is the self-existent one, the creator of everybody and everything, the one who created time and space and matter and energy, the great I am. That's who we're focused on at Thanksgiving time. That's who we're thanking. And so, what's the second ingredient? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. I'm going to kind of lump three kind of separate things just together in one word, if I could. And that's the word expression. The expression of thankfulness. We have the word shout, serve, and sing. There's an not just thankfulness in the heart, and this is huge, but thankfulness expressed. Those taste different to other people. I can't know your thankfulness if you don't express it. You say, well, God sees the heart, and he's the only one that matters. Check this story out. There were, once upon a time, 10 lepers. And Jesus comes along, and I want you to think about this, and heals them. But he does it this way. He says, go show yourself to the priests. The reason for that is the priests were to make the determination. The leprosy is no longer there. It's a law God gave a long time ago. Never been enacted. No priest knows how to do it because it's never been done outside of a couple of miracles in the Old Testament. So go show yourself to the priests. In other words, the priests will verify that you no longer have leprosy. On the way, they're healed. One turns around, a Samaritan, foreigner, one, if you're into critical race theory, one at the bottom of the chain of critical race theory, turns around, just throwing that in, turns around and comes back and honors God by giving the Lord thanks publicly. Jesus goes, in the Greek it's, the other nine, where are they? And kind of leaves it at that. And so you got to think about that. In the mind, in the heart of God, there is a difference between thankfulness in the heart and expressing that thankfulness. Now, if Jesus would have caught up to the other nine and asked them, they would say, oh, yeah, we're really thankful. But they didn't express it. And the Lord is teaching us, I believe in that, not just to be thankful, but to express our thankfulness. Those taste different in this recipe. Everybody good? And so it's expressed with shouting, with serving, with singing in an appropriate way, whatever the venue calls for. But it's expressed. And I've been thinking, like, my own gathering, like, how do you do that? I don't think you put up a little law that everybody here has to be, you know, because that's just, I don't know, it doesn't work in my mind. But I think I can initiate it. You can initiate it, whatever gathering you are, by not just talking about football. I mean, is football part of Thanksgiving? Yeah. It's a pretty big part of Thanksgiving. But you know what we don't do a whole lot on Thanksgiving? John, I want you to think about this. What do we not, most of us, what do we not do a whole lot of on Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving. We gather. We say grace. We're thankful. You express our thankfulness in grace, in saying a prayer together to God, speaking to the Lord, thanking him. And then we go on and talk about anything and everything. The whole day of Thanksgiving, how much of it do we spend thanking God? What are our kids picking up that Thanksgiving is really all about? Certainly, it's about football. But it's also about, more so, thanking the Lord. We need to set the example. And so we figure out how to, we can talk about, you know, how I've got to be careful here. We can talk about numerous things, but at the same time, we can kind of interject thankfulness to God for things that have happened since last time we saw that family member. All right, next one. For two ingredients. A focus on Yahweh, and then number two, expression. Whatever is works for the moment in that gathering, expressing thankfulness to the Lord. And then number three, verse 3, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I'm just going to put in theology, or if you don't like that word, the knowledge of God. We need to know God. It's hard to thank a God we don't know. That's some kind of a fuzzy, yeah, I know he's kind of out there somewhere. Yeah, I agree with that. But we need to know God. And here, these three facts are true of this one. Know that the Lord, Yahweh, capital L-O-R-D, know that Yahweh himself is God. He made us. We are his people. So three things, three truths about him. He's God. We're not. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. We are his people. Twice his. He made us, he owns us, and he bought us back from sin, if we apply the New Testament to this, and quite frankly, Old Testament theology as well. So number three is the knowledge of God. Thanksgiving is not Thanksgiving. This dish is not this dish if we don't know the biblical basics of who God is. Next one, number four. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. What was in David's mind when this was penned? Probably physically entering gates into the temple area, into the courts of the, you go through the gates, and then you're in the courts, the various courts of the temple area. And as folks would come in, especially on their Thanksgiving day, they would be doing what? Having thanksgiving on their hearts and from their lips, and praise on their hearts and from their lips. But number four, I'm just going to call corporate worship. Gathering with other believers. Something, there's a dynamic that takes place, and we are praying for the miracle of that today. James, thank you for your leadership. We're praying for the miracle of that to take place today, that we will be heavily impacted by this time of corporate praise to God. We have a song coming up, if I remember to get into that at the end, all right? During that time, let's prepare our hearts. And let's do give him thanks and praise. And then number five ingredient that I've spotted, and maybe I've missed some in your mind, and that's okay. Catch me up on those. Number five, give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, his faithfulness to all generations. This is more theology. I use the word adoration. That's a great word. Adoring God for who he is. Central to Thanksgiving. An important thing to talk about. And so he is good as opposed to evil. And he always and only does good, what is morally good. He is a God of loving kindness. That's a great way to translate this Hebrew term, I think. Loving, kind of two words together. Loving kindness. He's kind to us because he's chosen to love us, and that is everlasting for all of eternity. We meditate on that. And then he is faithful throughout the generations. As we raise our kids and our grandkids to trust him, we know that God will be faithful to them. So what does this dish taste like when we put it together? Let's go over it one more time, make sure we got it. Ingredients, at least the ones I've drawn out, are a focus on Yahweh. Again, how does this taste in your soul? A focus on Yahweh, expressing that focus on Yahweh in whatever's appropriate for the setting, but expressing it. A knowledge of Yahweh, knowing him. A corporate worship periodically to really grow us and solidify us in our focus on Yahweh, and just a continued adoration of him. Does that make sense as a recipe? I encourage you to look at your Thanksgiving and your daily meals does that mark you? By the way, Psalm 100 is served in the finest establishments. I'm going to verify that right now. That's the next passage, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8 and following. Don't want to take a long time on this. Just call your attention that Psalm 100 is served in the finest establishments and is none finer than heaven. Verse 8, the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, that's Lord, as talked about in Psalm 100, God Almighty, who was, who is to come. That's that Yahweh name. And so the four living creatures seem to plainly be, this is apocalyptic language, and the wings, they can move wherever they want to go, and their eyes, they see everything. They know what there is to know about the Lord and that they've seen Him work through the course of the centuries. And with all that they know and all that they've traveled, they have this great expression to Him. He is holy, completely separated from that which is common. He's completely other, and He's morally perfect. He's holy, He's holy, He's holy. He is Yahweh, He is God, He is the Almighty. He is the eternal one, the self-existing one. And they praise Him day and night. In this establishment, we will never stop being blown away, overwhelmed by the character of God. You should think about that. Is heaven boring? Are you kidding me? We will live eternally overwhelmed by the person of God, by the person of Yahweh. We need to bring that presence. We have that presence. We need to practice that presence at our own homes. And so, focus on Yahweh, expression, theology, corporate worship, adoration, all part of this gathering in heaven. Verse 9, next verse, and when the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks, notice thanksgiving in heaven, to Him who sits on the throne, Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, probably referring to the representatives of the Old Testament saints and New Testament saints, will fall down before Him. And this is their version of Psalm 100. Nobody cooks it quite, puts it together quite the same. It's got the same ingredients. This is their version. They fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. What does that mean? The crown, any crown that we get, any accolade, it's all Him working through us. We're like little kids, and when your dad, hits the ball for you and does everything, it's like, yay, way to go. But really, it's your dad. That's how we live life. The crowns belong to Him, and that's an expression of thankfulness. And they cry out, verse 11, worthy are You, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created everything. Because of Your will, they exist and were created. And so the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints in this new establishment called heaven are continually thanking and worshiping God as well, in the same way that the psalmist wrote down in Psalm 100. And I threw in Revelation chapter 11, verse 16, because you might say, well, Revelation 4 is probably maybe happening now, but it's not an eternal thing necessarily. It kind of sets up the tribulation period, and then after that, it's a new heavens and new earth. And what happens after this? Well, into Revelation 11, I probably could have included Revelation 21 and 22, quite frankly, but or at least 21, new heavens and new earth. But anyway, the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Finally, the idea is this is looking toward the end of this age. Finally, this age is going to end. Satan will be put away for a while, and the Lord will reign bodily here, and we will see a much greater fullness of his glorious nature when that happens. And so this great celebration and thinking about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in this age. This is contrasted, again, that's all Psalm 100, that recipe, okay? This is contrasted with the next recipe, and make sure this next recipe, I throw it in here because you want to be able to identify it, make sure it's never a part of anything you serve to your family, and don't let it in the door on Thanksgiving. Well, you might, but if you do, you want to witness to the guy that brings this recipe in the door, okay? All right, we'll put it that way, all right? Do not serve this dish. It will make everybody nauseous. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, just one, and then we're going to be on. All the rest of this, as long as we have, is all incredible dishes that will complement Psalm 100. But this one, don't let these ingredients in the door, all right? In your home, in your marriage, in your raising of children. Since the creation, this is Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, in other words, the person of God, has been clearly seen, being understood through what he has made, so that people are without excuse. People know there's a God. That cantankerous guy that comes to your house and goes, I don't know, I'm an atheist. No, you're not. You can't, it's too impossible today. Unless you've gone that far to harden your heart to that place, you got to be kidding me. Everybody knows God exists because of what's created on the inside and what exists on the outside. In the micro level and the macro level, it's obvious there's a creator who is timeless. And he created time, space, matter, energy, and everything else. That's being scientific. That's what science points to. That's what the Lord's saying here. Don't be stupid. Follow the science. You know there's an eternal God. That's what science points to. That's exactly what's being said here. People are without excuse. Verse 21, next verse. Even though they knew God. People know God exists. Okay? Even though they knew God. Here's if they serve themselves this dish, this is what happens to them. Here's the ingredients. They did not honor him as God or give him thanks. That's the turning point in life. Watch this as you raise your children. Focus on this point in their lives. Are they growing up to be thankful children? If not, become scared to death. This is the focal. This is the linchpin. Are they honoring God as God and giving him thanks? That's the linchpin. If that's not true in your marriage is going south. This is what's going to happen, all right? In your child rearing, in your life. Folks, though they know God, they choose to not think about him. They do not honor him as God or give him thanks. Now look for the ingredients. First of all, unthankfulness and dishonor toward God. Unthankfulness and dishonor. Next slide. They become futile in their speculations. Next ingredient is speculation. Their foolish hearts become darkened. Next ingredient is darkness. Professing to become wise, they become fools. Next ingredient is stupidity. And then they exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for, and that passage goes on just to list created stuff. Pick whatever you want to pick. Anything and everything but God. Everything God's created, everything but God. So look at the ingredients of this. Don't honor him as God. Give him thanks. Instead, pursue speculations. What happens? Darkness. What happens next? Idiocy. Stupidity. And what happens after that? Idolatry. Where does idolatry come from? Trace it back. The ingredients of this, again, unthankfulness and dishonor toward God. And then speculations. Well, maybe we all just evolved. Maybe that's it. It's just speculation that have no scientific bearing whatsoever. Never mind the science, just speculate. And then it's off to the races. And so unthankfulness breeds speculation. And then darkness begins to take over the soul. And then stupidity, foolishness, mortal foolishness, transpires. And then idolatry. Worshiping and serving everything that God created rather than God. And that's where we are, in many of us in America. Thanksgiving is about, I'm thankful for me and all the stuff I've accumulated. Let's celebrate us. And that's where we go with our bad dish. Don't do that dish. Here's the better dish to do. I'm aware of the time. We've got a little bit more time, but this might be the last dish we look at today. This is dish number 2. And the other ones you can take home. And I would encourage you as individuals, by yourself, but then maybe as couples after that, and then maybe as families after that, look at this dish. You can grab some more handouts and sermon outlines on the way out the door so everybody in the family has one. Romans chapter 5. This is a great exercise for your family. We'll do one more and we'll call it good. Have the band come up. Romans 5:1. This is dish number 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt. So we're looking at passages on thanksgiving and joy. So the word exalt is why my attention is drawn to this passage. We exalt in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, we also exalt in our tribulations. So thanksgiving for hope of the glory of God, thanksgiving for or in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, hope. Hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given to us. While we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That would be me. Did you spot what this might taste like in the soul if this was served regularly to yourself by the Lord in your devotional time, served in your marriage, served in your family? Let's look at the ingredients. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Toward the end, verse 5, God has poured out His Holy Spirit in our hearts to help us to understand these things. What's the first ingredient that you think I'm going to be finding, that I'm going to spot on this list? You can take them in a few different orders, but the first one that comes to me, the big one, the one that really dominates this recipe, the Trinity. Notice God is mentioned, the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned, and the Holy Spirit, more than mentioned. All of it's focused on them. They're not just mentioned. This recipe focuses on them. So it's the same as Psalm 100 in that sense. Again, some ingredients are so good, they just belong everywhere. And a focus on the Lord is one of those things. So a focus on the Trinity, all three members of the Trinity. Focus on God. Number 2, therefore having been justified by faith. So I'm just choosing faith as the second one, saving faith as opposed to just believing intellectually that Jesus died on a cross for our sin. This is a choosing to trust Christ as Savior and Lord, place our confidence in Him and what He's done for us. And so saving faith is the second ingredient. That's a gift from God. God, thank you for the gift of saving faith, because I was on a Romans 1 path, and you came and interrupted my life and gave me the ability to trust you. Thank you for that gift. And next one, therefore, having been justified by faith. I circle the word justify or underline the word justify. What does that mean? Made righteous. Not just forgiven, that's half of it, But given the righteousness of Christ to my account, made as righteous as God is righteous. And so this recipe calls me to focus on the Trinity, focus on and be thankful for saving faith, truly trusting Christ as Savior, and the justification that results from that being made completely righteous. Wake up Thanksgiving morning and think about that. Christ Jesus came to save the ungodly, that's me, but I wake up on Thanksgiving being 100% righteous. I can't be made more righteous than I wake up on Thanksgiving Day. Think about that. And all of it's a gift. So justification by faith. And then because of justification by faith and what Christ has done, which is chapter 3 and 4 of the book of Romans, because of what Christ has done, we have, what's the next one? Peace with God. Think about that. We don't fear God. We fear Him in the sense that He's awesome, but we don't fear Him in the sense that He's going to crush us. We have peace with God. We're made righteous. Peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through what He's done, there's the Trinity, part of the Trinity, through whom we have obtained an introduction by faith, there's faith again, into this grace in which we stand. There's the next ingredient, grace. That this whole dish, this whole recipe is mixed with grace, the grace of God. You can taste grace everywhere in this recipe. And we therefore, I supply the word therefore, but it's there, exalt, joy in, be thankful for the hope of the glory of God. Think about that. Hope. Absolute confidence that Christ is coming back again. That's the great hope that we have. But how is it worded here? Hope of the glory of God. In essence, I'm hoping He comes back again in my lifetime. But if not, what's He talking about? Death. We get excited about death. We can wake up on Thanksgiving morning going, I'm excited about the day I'm going to die. Why? Because my hope, in Scripture is absolute certainty because of Christ, what He's done. Never used as a wish. It's absolute certainty, total faith in God's promises for the future. Hope of the glory of God. I am going to be able to see when He comes back again or I die, I'm going to be able to see the glory of God. What is the glory of God? The fullness of His character. Never fully understand the fullness of His character, but He will see to some degree the fullness of His character. My whole life is spent wanting, since I've been a Christian, before is horrible, but Romans 1. But since then, my whole life is spent with one great goal. Second is to know my wife, but first, I want to know God. I want to see the fullness of His character. And so, on Thanksgiving morning, if I wake up with this in my heart, I should spring to my feet in the hope of seeing the glory of God one day. All because of what Christ has done. And not only this, we also exalt in our tribulations. Now, tribulation, I was like, do I circle that or not? Because we don't supply that in each other's life, unless you're a total grouch. Don't be a jerk when you go to your Thanksgiving gathering or you're supplying tribulation. But that's something that God supplies. So I encircle it as an ingredient. It's like Billy Wofford, my family, Billy Wofford. Remember, there's a friend of the family. As a kid, he'd come over and grill chicken. And he lived in Lakeland, but he'd come over, and that man, they got all kinds of food. They're totally into food. And I love seeing them because they brought incredible food. And so he's grilling chicken, and he's putting vinegar. He's putting the stuff in a vinegar and putting vinegar all over it. And I'd never seen that before. I'm going, he's wrecking the chicken. What's he doing? And he put vinegar and some other stuff in it, but vinegar. And I tell you what, I sheepishly tasted it. I'm going, this is incredible. It's like the best chicken I've ever tasted in my life. Who would have thunk? And so it is with God. You don't think vinegar is going to go with anything, and yet God uses it in such a way to make our Thanksgivings even more delightful. And so we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. That's certainly an ingredient. perseverance, character, hope. We've talked about those things. Kind of out of time, I'm going to close this thing down and not speak much about those things. But there's that theology again. There's that how God uses tribulation to grow us in perseverance and character, and even grow our excitement about the Lord coming back again. Verse 5, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. That again, we're just a huge ingredient here is an absolute conviction of the love of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God and this truth. For while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. I know God loves me. And then if you want to have more information on that, read the end of Romans chapter 8. Even in the worst of tribulation, we know we're in the center of the love and the grace of God. And so what I wanted to do, and I'm going to, as the band comes up, I'd like to string these two ingredients together, if I could, for y'all. And we'll pray and worship the Lord in thanksgiving. I'm back on Psalm 100. Just again, picture these two dishes together. I'm closing with this. Psalm 100. A focus on Yahweh. Expressing that focus on Yahweh in words of thanksgiving. A growing knowledge of God, theology. Regular corporate worship to build all of that. And just plain old adoration, focusing on the character qualities of God. That dish coupled with this dish, therefore having been justified by faith, a focus on the Trinity, the gift of saving faith, that I am completely, totally forgiven and made righteous, that's justification, that I have peace with God, that I'm surrounded by His grace, that I have a great excitement about the hope of experiencing the glory of God, the fullness of His character, of having the theology to know that God uses tribulations to grow me and us, and then just an absolute conviction that I live in the center of the love of God. That's just two recipes. And we're supposed to spread the table. All right? So there's a lot of other recipes in Scripture. That's just two of them. Thanksgiving recipes. Send me yours, and I want to close this in prayer if I could. And take these other recipes that I've supplied home and do them, again, as individuals. Spot the ingredients. See if you can taste them in your mind. You're not going to taste them until you do it. But see if in your mind you can taste what this would be like. And then choose the ones that you think are going to be the best as a regular diet for your family. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this great privilege to be able to come before you and express thankfulness in song, but also in word, in our heart. All of this is about you. And everything we are is about being thankful to you, worshiping you. Lord Jesus, if anybody is caught up in Romans 1 and the idiocy of that, we pray for your deliverance in their lives, that you draw them to Christ in saving faith, that they can know justification, peace with God, and fullness of life in grace and in the love of God, and have an absolute confidence even regarding death, to be excited about death. Lord Jesus, have your way in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.